Americans deal with anxiety. They deal with stress. They deal with worry, more than just worry, anxiety and anxiousness. In fact, of those 18 and older, there's almost 20% of the population deals with this thing. So in our nation, that means over 40 million of us are plagued with anxiety. We're anxious about those things. There's so many symptoms that go along with that. But God wants to give us a way of freedom from anxiety, a way to be free from worry and all these other things that so many of us deal with. And today, as we open up the scriptures and we lean into the teachings of Jesus, I believe the Lord wants to set somebody free today. And maybe that person is you, but God wants to set some of us free today from our anxiety, from the things that, man, maybe we're worried about or struggling with. God wants to set some of us free. And these worries, these things of angst, they can paralyze us, can't they, when we're afraid of the uncertainty of the future. And what they ultimately do, the Bible declares, is they enslave us. That when I'm anxious, when I'm worried about something, I become a slave to that worry. I became a slave to that anxiety. And Jesus says, I want you to be free. The Bible declares that it's for freedom Christ has set us free. He wants somebody to be free today, and maybe that person is you. See, I worry, when I worry, it's because I want to be in control of everything in my life. I want to hold the strings, all of the strings of my life. You know what I'm talking about? Many of us have this idea, I want to be in control of all the variables. I want to have the steering wheel in my hand and the gear shifter in my other hand, and I want to be in control of where I go in my life and the things that happen. But as all of us know, at last check, we're not in control. We can try and do things for our health, but none of us are in control of our health. We can try and take care of our finances, but none of us are in control of the economy or any of the rest of those things. And so there's things that we think we're in control of, but we're not really. Our health, our resources, even our relationships are ultimately not completely within our control, although there's things we can do to better our relationships. So this morning, as we dive into the scripture, I'm going to give you my main point right up front. If you're taking notes, the first fill in the blank is this, is that anxiety and worry can be overcome with this one simple truth. God is in control. So I don't have to be. In fact, would you read those words with me? Ready? Go. God is in control, so I don't have to be. And here's the truth. That one simple truth, if I will believe it deeply, it will change everything of my life. It will change the way I think about the things I'm worried about. It'll change the way I think about those things that are happening all around us when I turn on, no matter what channel you turn on, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. I mean, there's bad news everywhere. It's easy to get discouraged. But when I remember that God is in control, then I can trust that I don't have to be in control. I can trust that He is good, as Matthew shared with us in time of worship today. He's good. He's got this. He's in control. And if I will believe that deeply, it will change things in me. See, it's one thing to have an informational chance. I believe it up here, but it's got to sink its way down into my heart and sink its way down into my toes so that I'm changed by that truth. So Luke chapter 12, Jesus, we're going to dive into his teaching starting in verse 22. Luke 12, 22, we're going to read the first two verses to start with. And he says this, and he, Jesus, said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body and what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, for they neither have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Jesus tells us point blank that we have this proclivity, this bend inside of each one of us towards worry. I know I do. I'm sure you do too. We all have this desire, this tendency to worry. And we've got to, as Jesus said, we got to put that to death in us. We got to lay those things down. We have to choose not to operate in that paradigm anymore. In other words, we got to slay that giant. We got to say, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be in fear. And sometimes I think we focus on the wrong things. And we miss the big picture of what God is trying to do, the greater picture of what he's doing in our lives. And before long, if we're not careful and we don't really pay attention to what we're focusing on, we can get so focused on our lack, so focused on our problems, so focused on those things that we're worried may happen, that we miss the provision that God already has for us. And we miss the good things he's already doing in our lives and in our story. And I would submit to you that the antidote to worry is thanksgiving. And here's the deal. I've got to choose joy. I've got to choose to be a person of thanksgiving. And it will overcome fear and worry every time in my life if I'll choose joy, if I'll choose thanksgiving. Those are things that I have to choose. Turn to the person next to you. Say, you got to choose joy. See, when I choose the joy of the Lord, it overcomes the fear that I have about the uncertain future in front of me. Because I understand that I'm not in control of the future. I don't know about you, but I've never found the steering wheel that lets me steer the future. I keep looking for it, but I can't find it. The one I got isn't hooked up to the future. It's just not. And so we're not in control of those things. And I'm not in control of this big spinning rock I call home, that we call earth. But I know the one who is. And if I will remember that truth, it'll change everything. Now, I've shared this story many times before. I feel like I share it all the time, but there's a moment in my life that I learned this truth more than any other. It was a marking point, a defining moment in my life. And I'll never forget it because my wife, Rebecca, and I had just graduated from Bible college. It didn't happen in our timing, as often happens in life. We had some things that happened in between, but we finally finished up our Bible college degrees. And so they were standing, and we're going back to the Bible college, and Foursquare has this great thing that they do for all the new graduates. They take them through the Foursquare district office, or the main office, or headquarters, and they show them around. Now, this is the missionaries, and this is the mission work that they're doing. If you're interested, here's how you can get involved. Here's this department, the National Church Office. Here's what they do, and here's how you can get involved. And there's one point in the tour, it's really a tour, they take us up to the top. I don't think it was the top, but I imagine being on that millionth floor. And we got to go to the president's office. And at the time, the president of our denomination was Jack Hayford. This is a man that I greatly respected, a man that I thought was like, man, there's like Jesus, there's Moses, and then like there's Jack Hayford. I don't know, maybe he's a little higher. I don't know. But I always thought of this, he's a great man of faith, man filled with the Spirit of God. And at this moment in our life, we didn't know what we were doing. We graduated, and there wasn't like a wide open door in front of us. There wasn't like a job in a church or something that waited for us. And man, I was uncertain about the future, and I was worried and anxious about the future. And so we're supposed to go meet this great man of faith. And so, you know, we're supposed to go in and, you know, shake his hand. And then he asked me the soul-searching question that I felt was the green light for me to share everything of my worry and really just barf on him, all of my emotion. He asked me this soul-searching question. He said, "How are you?" And for me, that was like, okay, he wants to know everything. And so I just shared, I don't know what I'm going to do. We just graduated. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know about my calling to ministry. And I don't know where I'm going to get a job and not where we're going to live. And I just, blah, 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 blah. And tears. Not pretty tears, the ugly tears. You ever have the ugly tears? The ugly tears. And all the while, he's holding my hand. I didn't let his hand go because I didn't want him to run away. And he looks at me. And I'll never forget these words, without skipping a beat, without giving the face that I would have given someone that did that to me. He said, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know the one who does. Let's pray." And that man of God began to pray for me. And he reminded me that I'm not in control, and he wasn't in control, but we know the one who is. And when I'll put my confidence on that sure and firm foundation, it will change everything. I don't have to be afraid about the future. And that moment marked me. It changed me forever. And with that, he prayed, and he prayed in such a way that marked me. He said, "Father, I thank you that you know this young man, that you know this couple and the plan that you have for them. And he began to thank God for the work he had already done in our lives. And I was reminded of that. See, I've got to choose joy. I've got to choose to be thankful and thanksgiving, because it will overcome fear and anxiety every single time if I'll simply bring it to God with thanksgiving. But so very often, man, what we're doing is we're worrying about things that are out of control. They're out of our control. When I'm worrying about something that I don't have the information or the ability to change. As they say, it's above my pay grade when I worry. And we think sometimes that if I can just think about it enough and just analyze the situation enough, maybe I'll bring change to it. But worry never works that way. It only gets our eyes focused on the problem and never on the solution. See, there's a great difference between worry and concern. A worried person sees a problem. The concerned person solves a problem. So I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about our situations, but there's a difference between concern and worry. And here's what the Bible teaches us. Philippians 4:6 says this. Many of you are familiar with this scripture. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what?
Thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? It'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So God says if we'll come to him when we're anxious and worried and we'll present our needs before God with thanksgiving, man, he's going to guard our hearts. He's going to guard our minds. He's going to protect us from those things. And there's a promise there, my friend. See, the feeling of anxiety, the feeling of worry is going to come in all of our lives because we don't hold the future in our hands. And in those moments, God provides a way of escape. He says, "Would you just talk with me? Would you just talk with me?" And in those moments, God says, "If you'll talk with me, but talk with me with thanksgiving, it will change things." Martin Luther has this great quote. He says, "Pray and let God worry." And I love that. I love that. Pray and let God worry. So when I thank God for being in control, I remind not God, but I remind me. I remind myself that God is in control, that God's got this. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, "God's got this." Sometimes we need a friend in our corner to say, "God's got this, friend." You can let it go. You can forget about it. Don't worry about it. No matter how worried I may be about the situation, I've got to remember that God is in control. And when I pray and I remind my soul that God's in control, by the way, we don't need to remind God he's in control. He kind of knows that, right? He knows he's in control. But when I pray and I remind myself that God's in control, that's who I'm talking to. I got to say, soul, be reminded God's in control. Be reminded God's got this. He's in control, so I don't have to be. See, when I choose joy and thanksgiving, it will overcome fear and worry every single time. Jesus continues in verse 25, and he says this. He says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you then are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even King Solomon, the wisest, richest king of Israel's history, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" See, in the original language, it says, "Who by being anxious can add a single cubit to his length of life?" Those of you who are going through the Bible reading plan with us, the cubit is a measurement of length. In fact, it might be like us saying, "Who can add a single foot of ground to your life?" See, today, later today, maybe you've heard there's a game that's going to be on the TV. Some super game. I don't know what it is, but I hear it's important. But there's going to be a team, and I guarantee at some point in the game, there's going to be a team that's going to come up about a foot short or a yard short of where they're aiming to get, and they're going to be really concerned about coming up a little bit short, hoping to get just one more yard. Jesus says this, None of you, by worrying about your life, can add another yard, another foot, another hour to your span of life. So if you can't even do that, if your worry isn't going to be fruitful, then why are you doing it? And Jesus is saying this, worry adds nothing. It adds nothing to us except it does bring along its unfriendly friends, which are pain and sorrow. Worry adds nothing to us except pain and sorrow. None of us know the length of our days, and none of us can know the time of our departure into eternity. None of us, not one, can add a single hour to his span of life. So we can worry all we want, but it won't help. Now, medical science, in fact, on the other end of that spectrum, has linked all sorts of brokenness to worry, to anxiety. In fact, I was doing some research, and it reads like a pharmaceutical drug commercial. You ever see those commercials, and they say, this will help you with this, but then it's going to cause this, and you're like, whoa, I don't think so, I'm not interested. But here's the things that worry and anxiety are linked to: difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate during sermons. I threw that one in there, seeing if you're paying attention. Irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension. There's all sorts of things. That's just a partial list. So many of those things. See, worry doesn't add anything to us except for pain and sorrow and heartache. But what is worry? Again, being a word nerd that I am, I looked it up. The real definition this time. And I looked it up in the dictionary. It literally means to torment oneself with disturbing thoughts. Now that sounds appropriate. That sounds more like what worry is. When I disturb myself with, I torment myself with disturbing thoughts. See, if you can fix it, then fix it. But what worry is when I torment myself with stuff that hadn't even happened yet, that ain't even a problem yet, that I'm worried may happen yet. See, we worry about those things that are outside of our control. What's going to happen with the economy tomorrow? How will I get through the end of the month? How am I going to get to the next payday? Those things that I can't change now. Will my family stay healthy? Will I be able to overcome this sickness that I'm dealing with? Will my family stay safe? Those are things that we can prepare ourselves all we want, but ultimately we can't control. So we worry, and we worry, and we worry. What does Jesus remind us of? God is in control. He's in control. God takes care of the animals in the wild, the lilies of the field. He clothes them. He feeds them. And worry adds nothing to us except for pain and sorrow. And it's as if Jesus is saying this: you aren't God, so stop trying to do his job, because he's got this. God is in control, so I don't have to be. Jesus continues in verse 29, if your Bibles are out. He said, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's his desire. God wants to bless you, my friends, with the kingdom. But we're so worried about this little thing over here that we get distracted from the blessings that God has for us. See, friend, I want you to hear this. You've got a Father who loves you. He knows your needs, so you got to trust him. You've got a Father who loves you. Now, you might not have had a father, an earthly father that loved you like that, that cared for your needs, the little and the big and the medium and all the rest. But you have a heavenly Father who does. He knows about your needs. He knows about your struggles. He knows about your pain, and the secret pain, and the pain you let everyone know about. He knows about it all. And you've got a Father who loves you and knows your needs. Would you trust him? See, when we're tempted to worry about our finances or our health or relationship that's outside our control, I want you to remember this and say it to yourself. In fact, let's personalize it. Would you put it on the screen, Josh? Let's say it aloud together. The next slide. Would you say it with me? Ready? Go. I have a Father who loves me and knows my needs. I will trust him. Come on, guys. We're not just talking to ourselves, but we are talking to ourselves. See, I got to remind myself, my soul, that I have a Father who loves me. He's not just a distant God, but he's a good Father who loves me. He knows about my struggles. He knows about my needs. But I got to trust him with my needs. I got to say, Brian, will you trust him today? Brian, this situation is bigger than you. And I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but will you trust God? And I got to remind myself, soul, you will trust God. Sometimes it's a struggle to put our trust in God, isn't it? Is that just me? Sometimes it's a struggle to do those things. He knows all things. In fact, the Bible declares, I shared it last week, in Matthew 10:20, that God even has your hairs numbered. Some of y'all, that number keeps getting smaller by the day, but that's all right. God has your hairs numbered. He knows every little detail, just as Matthew shared in our time of worship. He knows the big things and the small things and all the in-between things about your life. And God is just waiting for you to open up, to draw near to him, to say, God, I need you in my life. I need you in this situation. Because we got a Father who knows what we need even before we do. He knows what you need. Sometimes I think about that. I see my kids wandering around, and I know what they need. And I'm just waiting for them to come ask. And I got it, waiting for them. But they just got to come and ask. I'm waiting for them to understand that they have a need. Because if I try and give it to them, they don't want it. You know what I mean? You have kids like that? Maybe that's just my kids. But they have to ask. They have to know that they have a need. Here's the thing about God. The Bible declares over and over again that if we'll ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to us. If you want to know what to do in your life, you got to ask God, and he'll give you wisdom. But we've got to come to him with those things. But sometimes in our heart of hearts, we can't even identify what our need are. I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm worried, but I don't even know why. I can't even put my thumb on what I'm worried about. And the Bible declares that God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us even in those things. In fact, this is what Romans 8:26 says. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not even know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And this verse, this next one we like. Some of y'all got it memorized. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. See, I like to take that last quote. I like to stand on that promise. God, you can work the things that look like crap all around me, that look like hell all around me, and you can take those broken things and you can make something beautiful. You can take maybe what the enemy of my soul destined for my destruction, and you can turn it into something good. You can turn my pain into something great. I love to stand on that, but we have to remember and acknowledge the fact that that begins by us submitting ourselves to God and saying, God, would you teach me even what to pray? I don't even know what I'm anxious about. I don't even know what I'm worried about. I don't even know what's going on in me, but you do. See, you have a Father who loves you. He wants to meet you in your needs, but you've got to trust in him. You've got to submit yourself to him. You've got to open yourself to him. It is his good pleasure to provide for your needs. He's just waiting for you to say, God, I need your help. It's his good pleasure. I don't know about you, but man, I love that fact that God says it's his good pleasure to provide for my needs. See, as a daddy, I love to spoil my boys whenever I can. I love to see them eating a bowl of ice cream and just singing daddy's praises. Right? They just love it. Daddy gives him ice cream. I love it. It's my good pleasure to bless my boys, to bless my children. And God says, I feel the same way about you. Even if you don't feel like I do. Even if your situation is painful, you've got a Father who loves you. It's his good pleasure to provide for you. Jesus says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, as we looked at this last week, and I can either treasure the things of this earth, or I can place my treasure in the things of heaven. And one of those two things I will treasure with my heart, whether it's the things of this earth or the things of heaven. God wants to give you the kingdom, an unshakable kingdom, one that cannot be taken from you, one that you cannot have ripped out of your hands. But to do so, you've got to trust in the king of that kingdom. You've got to stop trying to be God and trust that our Father's got this, that Daddy's got this. Dad's got it. I think of growing up as a kid. Now, as I got a little bit older, my mama got me this thing called a backseat driver's license. I think that was her way of telling me to stop complaining. But she got me a backseat driver's license. But when you're a little kid, and I look at my kids today, and they get in the car, they're not worried about who's coming through the intersection. We go through an intersection. They're not looking for cars to come and hit us. They're not looking for swerving cars as we're on our long road trips. What are my boys doing? They're in the back asleep, right? They're in the back. They got their headphones on, and they're watching a movie. What's that? Paint a picture. They're in the back, and they got their headphones on. They're just enjoying the journey. They're just kicking back. They're eating their Cheetos. You know what I mean? Making a mess. Doing what they do. They're being boys. But they ain't in the back like, oh, I wonder if we put enough air in the tires before we left. They're not in the back thinking like, I wonder if we need a new oil change in the car. That's Daddy's worrying about that. Their father worries about that. So all they got to do is just get in the car and trust that Dad's got it. And so when they're in the car, they're not worried. They're not worried about any of that. Except for when they hear that beep, beep, beep that says we're out of gas. They know that one, they got to worry about that one. We run out of gas before. But they don't have to worry about anything else when we're in that car. God says, I want you to be like that. I want you to just get in the car and trust that I've got it. Right. Don't just say, Jesus, take the wheel. Say, Jesus, I'll be in the back seat with my headphones on. Because I trust that you're in control. Yeah. I trust that you're going to protect me. I trust that you've got this, that you've got it all sorted out. So I'm going to just rest in that. Here's my hope. My hope is that today, maybe you'd find a hope that would go beyond your present situation. Or maybe for some of you, you'd be reminded of the hope that you already have. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of it. That hope is found in no other place than the name of Jesus Christ. He declared himself, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. No one gets to the Father except through him. See, we can't ever earn the love of God, just receive it. And just like a little child, we've got to come to God and believe. So I choose to believe. God's in control, so I don't have to be. I choose to be a person that chooses joy, that chooses to be thankful, even though I go through situations where I don't see the end yet. I choose to be a person that says, God, I thank you that you've brought me this far. And if you did it before, you're going to do it again. Just as we sang in worship, God, if you brought me through it that time back then, you're going to bring me through this. I trust that you'll do it again. Because I believe that my faith can overcome fear every single time. I choose to be a person that remembers that worry adds nothing to my life except for pain and sorrow. And I choose to be a person that remembers that I have a Father who loves me. A Father who knows my needs. So I choose to be a person that builds his life on that firm foundation. Says, God, I don't know what the future holds. Sometimes it looks stormy on the horizon. Sometimes it looks scary, the things that are coming in front. But God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know the one who does. You got this, God. So Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust you when I don't see the future. I don't want to sit in the front seat biting my fingernails, worried about every situation, but instead I want to be like those kids sitting in the back seat, enjoying the ride. That's what God wants for you, my friend. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we respond to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you that you're in control. Sometimes we want to be in control, but Lord, right now we declare we trust that you got this. You got every situation. In just a moment, we're going to receive of Holy Communion together. That action of receiving the elements of communion is our regular reminder that we don't earn our way to God, but He's made a way for us through Jesus Christ. It's a simple reminder that we don't earn God's love, just receive it. But it's a reminder for those of us who have already put our faith and trust and hope in Jesus. Perhaps you're here today and that's not your story. So before we partake together, I want to make an opportunity. If you've never crossed the line of faith, maybe you've been in church for a while, but you've never said yes to God's free gift of grace and salvation. Let me ask you, will you say yes to Jesus this morning? Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about us agreeing with somebody else here about it. So just a moment, with every head bowed and eye closed, if that's you, I want to agree with you in prayer. With every head bowed and eye closed, if that's you, would you just lift up your hand right now, right where you're seated? I want to agree with you in prayer. Anyone in the house today, you say, that's me. I want to say yes to the Lord Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything to be loved by you, to be accepted by you, but believe, put our trust in you, but open ourselves to you. So, Lord, we thank you for that reminder today. In Jesus' name.